All right, thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for this morning, God. We thank you. You are here. You are alive. You are well, of course. And we thank you, Father, you're here to touch people's lives. We thank you, Lord, that today is a day of divine appointments for people here today. Today is a day of turning from certain things. It's a day of change in hearts and minds. There's a shift that's going to happen in this place in the hearts and the minds of people. We thank you, Lord, for your presence, filling this place with your anointing and with your power today to touch lives in Jesus' name. Father, we just pray. Let's stretch out our hands to those people who are online. We just over that direction, the camera, that's at least one of them. Father, touch them today. We thank you for them today. We pray the same presence that's here will be there where they are now watching. Father, minister them, touch them, encourage them with the word, no matter where they are in the world, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank you, Paulette. Hey, we really appreciate our worship team, don't we? I tell you, every week they practice hard, they work hard. And, you know, you don't know this, but it's very technical up here. Now, I believe it or not, once upon a time, I worship led for 4 years. And back in the day, we didn't have all the technical stuff we have here. And I was watching Paulette with all her gear last night. It's just amazing. But, you know, they just serve every week, and they bring us in the presence of God, and they prepare for the message and all that's happening. So we really appreciate them, don't we?
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you, guys. Yeah, so I'm looking forward to a summer in the Philippines. Woohoo! In the Philippines, it's the cool season, by the way. But don't be tricked. The cool season is like from 25 to 30 degrees. So I'm going to have a good summer. I don't know about you. And it's great to have Father Ken with me. And this man, he is, you know, you may not know this, but once upon a time, he was a principal in a school. He also pastored a church. And, of course, now he's part of the trustees and eldership in our church. So he's a man with great experience and great wealth. So it's really great to have you with us, Ken, on this journey. I believe it's going to be a great trip. And Ken is, before I speak, he's going to get up for about 10 minutes each time, and he's going to share the word and give a mini message. And also, he has been asked, one of the churches has got an anniversary there, and he's been asked to speak at that anniversary. So that's a great treat for him. And Ken's going to help me pray for people. And I just know mixing with people and leaders and that is going to be a real blessing. And we're going to different churches over there, my parents' churches again. And we're going to a church that I haven't been before, about 3 hours from Manila. It's where the American base used to be. And when Paul and I were delivering some material to this particular area to pastors, we met this pastor named Philip. He's got a great church, very evangelistic. They've got outreaches into the hospital and to prison. And in fact, I will be speaking at an open-air crusade in the Philippines there at this place. I haven't done that since I was in my early 20s. And so that's going to be great. That's going to be different. And then we're going to speak in his church. And I just believe it's going to be a powerful time. In fact, I felt like God gave me the word Ken for this particular trip. I felt like God said it's going to be a time of impartation. And it's interesting that we're going. I've never been to the Philippines ministering at the beginning of the year like this. And I just sense it's going to be a powerful time of impartation. But I cannot go there yet. We are here at Living Waters now. And so as much as I'd want to jump on a plane right now and just leave you all to it, wouldn't that be fun if I said, oh, I'm out of here. Sorry. No, I've got a message to preach and share. And so anyway, I sometime last year I woke up, and that was a good start to the day. I woke up. And before I even opened my eyes, and before I even had a chance to think anything, God spoke to me. He's been doing that lately to me. You know, you're not even thinking of anything. And on this particular morning, he says, as you turn to me, I will turn things around. As you turn to me, I will turn things around. And I felt that was for me, that message, but then I also felt that this was a message for Living Waters Church also. And it's funny, lately God has been doing it that way, where he has spoken to me about the message for you guys before Pastor Wes has even asked me. And in fact, Pastor Wes asked me, he said to me, you know, early December, he says, Mark, would you like to speak in January? And I said, oh, I don't know, Wes, I've got this, I've got a trip, I've got this happening. I said, no, which is unusual because I knew I had something. Anyway, in the new year, Wes again said to me, he said, oh, that spot's still free, Mark. And I just knew God was giving me another chance. And I said, yes. You know, there could be somebody here this morning. God's spoken to you about doing something. You've said no. But he's coming to you again this morning and say, will you say yes? And you know, the interesting thing, when I said yes, January was supposed to be an absolute hectic, crazy month. It's been quite nice. So there's a grace when you obey God. All right, so I'm talking this morning about the power of the turn. The power of the turn. See, when we turn from certain things and we turn to God, it will result in powerful things happening. It's powerful. And so we're going to look at those powerful results of turning to God. But before we do, we need to define what is turning. And to do that, we need to look at seeking. Because seeking God is very much about turning. And so the first part we want to look at this morning is how do we seek God? Don't you want to know that? How do we seek God? We often talk about seeking God, but how? How do we do that? And so when I'm looking at how do we seek God, keep in mind, you can put in brackets in your notes, how do we turn to God? Now, I have 6 points to how we seek God. It's followed by 5 points, results of turning to God. Now, I know that makes some of you nervous. Anybody feel kind of nervous about that? That's 11 points. And I know you're a bit nervous because the last preacher who spoke for an hour on the internet, he took for 3 points, it took him an hour. We're going to go through these really quickly. And do not fear. Do not be afraid. Actually, when I was pastoring our church, you know, I was famous for one day for speaking 14 points in 10 minutes. Do you remember that day, Phil? Wasn't 10. All right, who is that man? Just throw him out of here. Clearly, I wasn't so famous. All right, so let's move into it. 6 points, how do we seek God? Keep in mind, when we're talking about seeking God, we're talking about turning to God. I want to give you an idea of what this is, turning to God. Number one, seek God first. Now, Margaret's going to just put these scriptures up. We're not going to have time to look at some of these scriptures, but they're going to come up on the screen. Number one, seek God first. Matthew 6, verse 33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. So we're to seek the kingdom of God first. And the most important part about seeking the kingdom is to seek the King, our Heavenly Father. You know, sometimes we are guilty of you know, seeking God for maybe what he can do for us or for his anointing, and that's okay, but we're to seek him first, because the relationship is a core theme right throughout the Bible. Did you know that? From the beginning to the end. What is the cross about? The cross is about Jesus bringing us into relationship with our Father. The cross is about bringing us into relationship with each other. So it is a core theme. And so when we seek God, it's first to seek him, to spend time with him, and to know him in a greater way. Because I've been guilty of the other. I've been guilty of the other. And so we just need to remember that that's very important. Seek God first. Number two, we seek God. You're going to love this one. Woohoo! Busy with lunch coming up. We seek God with fasting. How many like to fast? Yes, I see that hand. I see, oh, there's a man back there. Joel chapter 2, verse 12 says, "Now therefore, says the Lord, turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning." Derek Prince, he says this, you know who he is, many. "I believe the essential nature of fasting is renouncing the natural to invoke the supernatural. The most natural thing for us to do is eat." Is that not correct? "When we give up eating, we are deliberately turning away from the natural by turning to God and to the supernatural. This has deep significance." Number three, we seek God when he invites us. This is an interesting one. This is an important one. Psalm chapter 27, verse 8 says, "When you said," this is David speaking, "seek my face, my heart said to you, your face, Lord, I will seek." So God said to David, "Come and seek me. Come and seek me, David." And David said, "I'm going to seek you." When God calls us to seek him, we better respond to him because he's got something awesome for us. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 6 says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." There are times where God can be found. He can be found all the time, yes. But there are times where he can be found more than others. And when he can be found, that is the time we need to seek him. Hosea 10, verse 12 said, "For it is time to seek the Lord till he comes and rains righteousness on you." So we're to continually seek God all the time. But there are seasons when God calls us to seek him, to turn to him. I believe we are in that season now. In a sense, we have been in that season the last few years, but particularly now, we are in that season now. It is time to seek the Lord. It is time. Number four, you see how quickly we're going through these? Are you happy? Yeah, some of you are nervous. You don't know me. Number four, we seek God diligently. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "He is the rewarder of those who diligently seek him." Proverbs 8, verse 17 says, "I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently will find me." Isn't that an awesome scripture? I love those who seek me diligently. I love those who seek me diligently. And I love it when you seek me diligently, when you press into me when times are hard. And I promise you, you will find me. And with amazing thing, I haven't got time to go in this morning, but with all these seeking God, there are many promises that occur when we do that. And so Deuteronomy chapter 4, verse 29 says, "And you will find him if you seek the Lord with all your heart and with all your soul." Frank DiMaggio, a Bible teacher and author, says this, "To seek implies an intentional turning to God with intensity, not just routine praying. To seek means to search for carefully, to run after, to search diligently, to reach out so as to take hold of. In these days, it's time for us to run after God like we've never run after God before. It's time to start running after some of the rubbish you've been running after, some of the people and situations and things. It's time to run after God. It's time to press into God. These are days of pressing into God. And as we do, we will find him. We will encounter him. And our lives will never, never be the same again. You know, sitting on a lazy boy. How many of you got lazy boys? Having your favorite pizza. I like Pizza Hut. And watching TV. And during the ad breaks, doing a bit of shundy bundy kabo kutata is not seeking God. Sorry. If you thought it was. Seeking in God. Wish it was. I wish it was. You can, though, do that. You can spend time with God, pizza. But seeking God involves sacrifice. It involves discipline. It involves diligence. Number five, we seek God persistently. Luke 11, verse 9. "So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened unto you." sometimes we just gotta knock and knock and knock. You say, well, is God deaf? No, it's just the way He's made things and made it happen. This is how what you gotta do. So sometimes you just gotta knock on that door, and knock on the door. As long as you know that door's the right, knock and knock, and eventually as you knock, it will be opened unto you. And there are people here today, you are knocking on a door. You know not that door is right. You just keep on knocking and knocking and knocking. Hello! And eventually that door will wide open to you. Hosea 10:12, for it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. Luke chapter, thank you, they heard me out there. Somebody, up and coming preaching. Luke chapter 24, verse 49, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city until you are endued with power from on high. Jesus said, go and pray and keep on praying until the outpouring of the Holy Spirit comes. You see, seeking God involves persistently seeking Him until we have what we have. How long are we going to seek and pray and press in to a new move of God? Until it happens. That's when you stop seeking it and keep praying for other things. Number six, we are almost there. Number six, we seek God with repentance. Hosea 10 verse 12. Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. That's hard ground. That's our heart that's hard. For it is time to seek the Lord till He comes and rains righteousness on you. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verse 14 says, if my people are called by name, my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land. Joel chapter 2 verse 12 and 13, you cannot complain this morning that you're not getting the word of God. Joel chapter 2 verse 12 and 13, now therefore says the Lord, turn to me, and this is the word of God for somebody here today. Turn to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, with mourning. Surrender your heart and not your garments. In other words, don't let it be an outward religious thing, but let it be an inward repentance of sorrow in your heart. Return to the Lord your God, for He is gracious and merciful, slow to anger. Thank God He's slow to anger. And He is great, as of great mercy, and He relents from doing harm. See, we can take initiative anytime and just say, Lord, I'm sorry and repent of sin. Anytime. But there are seasons and times where God deals with sin in our life to bring us to a place of repentance. So that we might bear more fruit. And I believe that we are in that season. God is causing His people to turn from sin and to turn to Him. Because see, when you turn away from sin, you're turning to God. And so this year, I want to encourage you, pray and ask God, what ways can I seek the Lord? What are the things that I can turn from this year? I know I've been thinking about it. And do it with the Holy Spirit. Don't do it with yourself. Do it with Him, because you're going to need His help. So this gives you an idea of what it means to turn to God. You understand what it means to turn to God now? You're all with me? I'm going to have a glass of water. I'm thirsty. Turn to somebody this morning just and say something sweet in their ear. We need to pray for one or two people here. I notice one or two are already beginning to nod off. I'm only halfway through my message. It used to bother me when I was younger, but nah, I don't care. Because I know it's not because I'm a bad preacher. It's because they had a bad night. All right, so now I'm going to give you, we've got those six things out of the way. We're talking about how do we seek God, how do we turn to God, just giving that foundation. So now I'm going to give you five powerful results of turning to God. Five powerful results of turning to God. Number one, renewed joy. How many people need some new joy? Amen. Whole new batch of joy. And I believe we're coming into days where God's going to pour out His joy upon His people and upon His church. It's gonna be like the 90s, but it's gonna be different because that was more a big focus. But I believe we're coming into those days. God's gonna renew joy to His church. But you know, sometimes we lose our joy because of sin, don't we? I got a sermon that goes, the joy killers, things that will steal your joy. And one of them is sin. I've never seen a happy Christian who's sinning. Have you? And David in Psalm 51, he was repenting of his sin with Bathsheba. And he cried out to God and he says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation." Because he lost his joy. And when he repented and turned from that sin, he got it back. You may have lost your joy because of sin, but the answer's easy. Just turn from that sin and turn towards God, and your joy will come back. You'll get your joy back. Sometimes we lose our joy because of hurt and disappointment and loss. And those things can just build up in our lives over the years. Many of us know the verse in Psalms 30, verse 11 says, "You have turned from me my mourning into dancing. You have put off my sackcloth and clothed me with gladness." How many feel like you need to be clothed with a whole new batch of gladness? But we're not as familiar with the verse 8 of the same chapter, which reads, "I cried to you, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication." So as the writer of Psalm cried out to God in his sorrow, as he turned to God, God turned his mourning into dancing. He restored his joy. Maybe you've lost your joy for various reasons, but as you turn to God, He's going to turn your mourning into dancing and your sorrow into joy. And I'm believing for some people today, that's going to happen to you today. Some people, your mourning is going to get turned to dancing. There's going to be a shift. You're going to start to see your joy restored, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. That's the kind of joy we want, Murray. Isn't that the kind of joy we want, Murray? Number two, second result is resolved issues. Well, the word issue means problems. How many have got any issues in your life? No, none of you? Oh, wow, there's one person. Wow, maybe I should skip this point. Yeah, but you know somebody else has got some issues, don't you? That guy's got some real issues. Let's turn to Mark chapter 5. Verse 25, and our time is ticking, so we'll have to see how we go with all this. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 to 30. "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She had spent all that she had and was no better, but grew worse." Have you done that before? "When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For he said, if only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well. And immediately the fountain of blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of her afflictions." Hallelujah. "And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that power had gone out of him, turned around to the crowd and said, 'Who touched me?'" And so these scriptures tell of a woman who needed healing. And so she tried everything, heard about Jesus, touched Jesus, and she was healed. And one of the reasons this woman was healed was because she stopped looking to men and turned to Jesus. Now, I appreciate our doctors. Believe me, I do. We do. But it's an interesting thought. But this story is about healing, but there's another lesson we can learn in this story. And that is, sometimes we have an issue in our life, we have a problem in our life, and we're turning to all kinds of things, maybe to people, maybe the internet, maybe our own understanding, and some of those can be fine at times. But sometimes God is waiting for us to turn to Him with all our heart. And when we do, His power, His wisdom, His direction, His deliverance will be released into our issue, and it will be no more. You know, there's another scripture that we're not so familiar with, and that's Psalms chapter 107, verse 23 to 30. Now, I'm not going to read it today. You may see it up on the screen. Psalms 107, 23 to 30. In that psalm, it talks about men who do business on the sea. So these men are tough men. Have we got any tough men here today? I just need an example. No, maybe I'll just have to do. We've got some tough women. I knew that already. They were brave men. They were macho men. That's not something you hear about now these days. If you're a young person, just Google it. And so they were out in the sea. That's what young people do. We're out in the sea, and these tough men, and God started a storm, and the waves were as high as the sea. And so the Bible says that these men, their souls melted, they staggered like drunken men, and it says they were at their wits' end. In my margin, it says all their wisdom was swallowed up. In other words, they tried everything to get through this storm. But one thing, and that is, then they cried out to the Lord, and God heard them and commanded their storm to end. A powerful thing happens when we get to our wits' end. You know that? We start to turn to God for answers. And when we do, it unlocks something in the spirit that changes our situation. I've experienced that many times. It's a principle of Scripture. It's where perhaps some of you are here this morning. Now I'm losing count now. But actually it's number nine. Number three, restored prodigal. I'll read the story. That's a long one. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 and 24. If we don't make all these points this morning, that's fine. Luke chapter 15, verse 11 to 24 says, "Then he said, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, 'Father, give me a portion of goods that falls to me.' So he divided them to his livelihood. And not many days after, the younger son gathered all together, journeyed to a far country, and there wasted his possessions with prodigal living. But when he had spent all, there arose a severe famine in the land, and he began to be in want. And then he went and journeyed himself to a citizen of that country, and he sent him into his field to feed the swine. And he would gladly have filled his stomach with the pods of that the swine ate, and no one giving him anything. But when he came to himself," oh yeah, sometimes you just got to come to yourself. May this morning somebody come to yourself. "He said, 'How many of my father's hired servants have bread enough and to spare and to perish with hunger? I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and before you, and I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me one of your hired servants.' And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, His father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight, and I'm no longer worthy to. And he arose and came to his father. But when he was still a great way off, his father saw him and had compassion on him and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven in your sight, and I am not worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his servant, Bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf here and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found. And they began to be merry. What a great picture of our Father. Amen. That's our Father. That's our Dad. Woo! Now, there are three things we can learn from the story. Yeah, I didn't tell you about the other three points ahead. I didn't want to scare you, okay? Number one. So this is, if I start saying A, B, C, D, then you got to really worry. This is still under prodigal, restored prodigal, okay? Number one, whenever you turn away from God, there will always be consequences. Whenever you turn away from God, there will always be consequences. This prodigal son, he left, ended up broke, ended up working, feeding the pigs, and eating the food of the pigs at the pig's trough. Maybe you're here today, and you turned from God. You're backslidden. But I believe there is at least one person here today like that. You're away from God. And you find yourself eating at the troughs of this world. You feel unclean. You feel alone. And you feel empty. You feel a bit like that baby at the moment. Yeah. It's not that bad, the message. Maybe you're here today and you're not backslidden. You're not in gross sin. But you have drifted from God in some way. You've pulled back. Churches are full of Christians who have pulled back. Pulled back. Maybe you have a wrong focus on money and materialism. The key word there is wrong focus. Maybe you're not serving God like you used to. You put your gift down. You haven't got your same fire. Maybe you're spending little time with God, whatever it is. You are now eating at the troughs of this world. God's presence, God's joy, God's favor is not there like it used to be. Maybe you're thinking of backsliding. And I feel there could be at least one person here today like that. It's amazing who we have sitting in our churches. We think everybody's squeaky clean and there's no problems. We know better than that, don't we? But you know, maybe you're here today and you're thinking of leaving the Lord, turning away from Him. I remember as a teenager, the exact moment. I was about 15 years old. I was hitting the tennis ball against the wall. And I said to myself, I'm going to take a break from God. Well, that was one of the most dumbest things I said and dumbest things I did. It was the worst break I have been on. It lasted for 5 years. By the end of it, I was depressed, without a job at the age of 20, and suicidal. You know, they say with the Titanic that they were warned to change course many times. And I think, in fact, the actual day of they hit that iceberg, 7 times I read that they were warned, change course. I don't know if this is your first warning If you're thinking about turning from God, I don't know if this is your second warning, but God is saying to somebody today, change course. You are heading towards destruction. Turn around is the word of God for you today. Heed the word of the Lord. It's a warning for somebody here. Turn around. God will be waiting for you. Number two, God is always willing and waiting for your return. He is always willing and waiting for your return. You know, when the prodigal son returned home, we see in the scriptures, you know, he probably thought he was, you know, going to get a good telling off. Or dad was going to say, I told you so. I told you so. Or maybe, you know, son, it's great to have you home. But you know what? You're going to sleep out in the servants' quarters for a few months because you've been really bad. No, what did the father do? He ran towards his son. He hugged him. He kissed him. I bet that son didn't expect that. He rejoiced. He said, let's throw a great feast. Let's have a party. My son is back. And maybe you're here today and you're backslidden, or maybe somehow you've drifted away from the Lord. Our Heavenly Father has His arms wide open to you, and He's willing and wanting for you to return. He's waiting for your return. In fact, He's not only waiting for your turn, but He is working, and He's been working in your life in these days to bring you back to Him. Number three, turning back to God will turn your situation around. Turning back to God will turn your situation around. When the prodigal son was away from his father, he was eating at the pig's trough. But when he returned, he was feasting at his father's table. What a contrast, eh? He's at the pig's trough, and then now he's at the father's table. If you're backslidden or drift away from God, make a decision today to return to God, and your life and situation will turn around. Number four is revival fire. Revival fire. Tell you what we're going to do. I'm not really going to talk about this particular point. We just haven't got the time. But we're going to show a short clip of a prophetic word I gave at this church on a Sunday evening. It was actually about COVID, but the whole point is that we are living in days where people are turning to God. God has used COVID in different situations to cause people to turn to Him. And there's a lot of prayer gatherings going on. And often before a move of God revival, there is prayer. And so this is a sign that we're coming into some amazing move of God's. And I just don't have time to get into this point this morning. But I just want you to listen to this clip and just hear. I believe this was a prophetic word for COVID and other things. But I believe it's in the days and times we're in. So, Margaret, thank you if we could show that now. It's about 2 minutes.
God, we're so grateful for what you've given us. But we just know there's so much more. And it's not just about so much more for us, it's so much more for others. We know that there's so many people that need to come in the kingdom of God. That this nation needs to be shaken like it never has been before. I believe this nation is going to get turned upside down on its belly, on its back. And some of that's going to be good and some of it's bad. You know, some of it's bad. But men everywhere are going to start to call upon the name of the Lord. business people, mums, government officials, policemen, firemen, men and women, are going to start to turn to God.
We are living in exciting days. Exciting days. Hands stretched out to God. These are the days we're living in. People turning to God. And I believe as we do, as we seek Him all over the earth and in this nation, we will see an awesome outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And we are seeing that already. Number five. Number five is remarkable encounters. Remarkable encounters. How many want a remarkable encounter? I believe we're coming into days of remarkable encounters. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3, and this is just going to take a brief moment. I'm coming to an end here. Exodus chapter 3, verse 1 to 3. 1 to 3. Now Moses was tending the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian. And he led the flock to the back of the desert and came to Horeb, the mountain of God. And the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a flame of fire from the midst of the bush. So he looked, and behold, the bush was burning with fire, but the bush was not consumed. Then Moses said, I will turn aside and see this great sight. Why the bush does not burn. Let me ask you this question. Has God got a burning bush to get your attention now? Anyway, Moses, he had an encounter with God, and two things happened. First of all, he had a revelation of who God was. God says, I am, the great I am. And then secondly, he had an impartation. Oh, I'm looking forward to those days. And there was a gift of miracles that was imparted to him to enable him to do what God had called him to do, which was to deliver the people of Israel from Egypt. But it was the turn that led to Moses' encounter with God. It was the turn. Not just the turn on the mountain, but in the wilderness and the desert, there was a turning going on. God was turning. He was turning from things that are sinful, and he was turning towards God. I have found that it's the turn to God that leads to the encounters with God. It's the turn to God that leads to the encounters with God. I've experienced this many times. I don't have time to get into the story, but I remember I was pastoring a church in another lifetime, and there were some hard times, and God was dealing, and da-da-da-da, fast forward. And, you know, God began to speak to me about seeking Him. And so I looked up all the scriptures on seeking in the Bible. I looked up all of them and did a study on seeking. And this is where this came out of. And I started to think about praying and fasting. And I remember I got from the bookshop, I got about 9 books from the bookshop, secondhand bookshop. Couldn't afford brand new books. And I started studying these things, and the funny thing was, is while I went to the bakery, it was across the road, and I got all this food, and I was feeding myself with this cake and stuff, and I was reading about prayer and fasting. It's true. It's ironic, isn't it? But anyways, God was just stirring me, and you know, and so as myself and our church, we began to seek the Lord, and as we turned to Him, one Sunday, all of a sudden, you just never know when it's going to happen. Holy Spirit moved and broke out, and for many months, and I encountered God, and the anointing upon me came upon me in a new way, and it's grown ever since then. But that encounter came out of a time of turning. And I believe there are some people here today that you are in a time of turning, turning. And as you press into God in these days and even begin to seek Him afresh in these days, as you persevere through this process, it will lead to a life-altering encounter with God. How many want a life-altering encounter of God? I bet if we had a life-altering encounter of God, it would wake up some of the people that are sleeping this morning. You're welcome if I've given you a nice rest. You're welcome. I believe we're coming into days, and they're not that far off, where we are going to see incredible encounters. Incredible. We refer to the 90s. Oh, it's so sad. It's sad because we don't have a present example of that. And yeah, no misunderstand me, God is in doing great things all the time. But we refer to that because we long for it again. But I believe it's coming. It will be different. It won't be the same. I think it'll be greater. And I know sometimes we hear about the move of God and we get a bit cynical. But I tell you what, in me, and I know in some of you, there is a sense that there is something great around the corner, and it's going to change the church. It's going to change this church. It's going to change your life. And it's going to change the world. It's going to be a mark upon our history. And so let go of your unbelief and stir this message with the spirit of faith. Because the Bible says that if you want to have something to happen, you've got to mix the word with faith. I need some faith in here. Jesus could not do anything because of their unbelief. You might say, I was falling asleep in the message. You might say, I was getting a bit bored. But was it my fault or was it your fault? Woo! Well, the preacher wasn't that good today. Was it the preacher or was it you? Did you have faith or not? Now you're awake. I love it. Woohoo! You're awake. Oh, they're awake, Andrew. Oh, thank God they're awake. I'm not scolding, I'm just having a bit of fun. But maybe for some people it's a word for you. Just like Grant says, man, are you waiting for a performance? Or are you going to get involved? Because we're not going to see a move of God sitting back waiting for some preacher. Because believe me, you'll be waiting a long time for some preacher to bring a move. It's coming from you. It's coming from us. We call out upon God and we stretch out our hands to God. And we say, God, move in this nation. As we begin to be like the men who were like staggering in the waters, they got desperate. They realized nothing was going to change things until they saw God move. And you got to get that way about your life. You got to get that way about your problem. You got to get that way about this church. You got to get that way about this nation. Turn to God and cry out to Him and look to Him. And as you do, He will move afresh in your life. Oh, I'm exhausted now. Whew. What's this? Ghost fire. Holy Ghost fire. That's pretty cool. We need some of that this morning. Hey, Shakur Leveto Komanda. Oh, we need some fire. I can't even remember what your name is, but yeah, you. I know your name, but I just can't remember it. Urabasanda. Oh, we need some. You need some fire too. What's your name? Blonde headed lady. Noah. I need some fire. Woo, we need some fire. We also need more time. Oh, yeah. That was good. But you know, amongst that, I've been watching. I know how some of you have been feeling. That doesn't bother me. Because I know amongst what I've been doing that there's some people here today God has been speaking to. It's an important time for you. Somebody's backslidden. It's time to return to the Lord. The Father's waiting. Do you see how your life has become a mess? God says, I can help you fix that up. Come on. Come back to me. I love you. I'm not going to condemn you. I'm going to bring you back. There's some heart shifts that are going to happen this morning. There's some changing of courses that are going to happen this morning. There's some new directions. I believe at least one person is going to be saved from a destructive path. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning. If I can have the worship team. I've gone longer than I wanted to. You all good? You're going to pray for us in the Philippines? It's going to be good, brother.
It's going to be good.
It's going to be a great experience for you, Ken, I reckon. It's going to be really, I think it's going to be something to look back on. May not be last. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Just excuse me while I take my time. Because I've just, like you said, I've just stepped into the Holy Spirit now. I'm not about to rush things. Sorry. If you have to go, that's absolutely fine. If you're hungry, you don't want to fast, that's fine. Feel free. In all sincerity, feel free. Feel free. But we're not going to be long this morning. But we've come to a very important part. Very important part. Because you've heard the word. But now it's time for the Spirit. It's time for the response. I'm sitting on this because I just feel to sit on it. Because I really believe you may not feel this way. That's fine because it's not for you. But I really feel there are people, Holy Spirit, our Heavenly Father is touching right now. He's touching right now. Lord, just touch hearts. Let them feel that love. Let them feel that drawing. In a minute, we're going to sing a song of praise. And I want to invite some people to the front. And the Holy Spirit's going to move and we're going to pray for you. And when we sing this song, if you feel you need to go, that's absolutely fine. I want to invite anyone who's not a Christian. If you have not invited Jesus into your life, maybe you've been feeding on the troughs of this world. You've ended up empty, unclean, dissatisfied. Jesus said one time around a well, only He will satisfy. You know what they're finding? You hear stories of people that are famous and have all the money and all the things in the world, and they will tell you it does not satisfy. Jesus is the only one that satisfies. And I want to encourage you to make a decision to invite Jesus into your heart. Come up to the front as we sing the song and let me know that you've done that. I want to invite anyone who is backslidden. Come, turn from that life and your Father will accept you today. I want to invite anyone who has drifted away from God in some way. You know it. You're not in sin. You're not backslidden. But you know it. You know it. You've drifted. You're not the same. Like you just moved back from God. Maybe it's hurt. Maybe it's hurt. You didn't turn your back on God, but you turned your back on God's people. When you turn your back on God's people, you end up turning your back on God. Today's the time to forgive. Today's the time to let go. and let God come and heal you today of any hurt that you've experienced. I want to invite anyone today who has lost the joy. Because I believe there are people here today, you've lost your joy. You know it. It's not there anymore like it used to be. It may be because of sin, or it might simply just be because you haven't done anything wrong, but it's because of situations. It might be because you've lost someone, whatever it is. But I'm praying Holy Spirit's going to move, and today there are going to be people here that are going to find their joy again. Today, there's some people here who are going to find their joy again. The joy of God. The joy of their salvation. The joy of serving the Lord. Hey, 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 hey! Let's give a shout of clap of praise today to the Lord. Release joy in this place today, Lord. Let there come a release of joy filling our hearts, filling our minds. Come on, people, come on. Come on, shikababababata. Joy, 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 joy. Oh yes, hela masukara baranda, hela masukuranda. Do you want an early lunch, or do you want the Holy Spirit to move this morning? It's your choice. It's your choice. Do you want to play church, or do you want to experience God? Do you want to go through formality? Oh yes, praise the Lord. Or do you want to break out and see the Holy Spirit move today? Boy, that preacher is angry. No, I'm not. I'm just excited. I just want to see you blessed. I just want to see your joy full. I just want to see, like the Bible, it says, they went out with joy. Believe me, today when we leave this place, we are going to go out for joy. We're going to sing a song of rejoicing. And it might be 2 o'clock in the afternoon, but we're going to be happy. Woo! I am in the negative 116. I can't remember the last time I've been in the negative 116 at Living Waters Church, but here I am. I'll blame the Holy Spirit. He'll take the blame. And I lastly want to invite you, anyone here who is at their wit's end, to come. And I want you to come. And we're going to believe Holy Spirit's going to touch people. And we're going to believe and we're going to pray for you, okay? All right? And if we have a chance, we're going to finish off with a rejoicing song. Even if it's just 10 of us. Thus says the Lord. Woo! Some of you came from a word from God this morning. There it is. There it is. There it is. There it is. So let's if we can please sing this song. Oh.
Did you want the slower one or the fast?
The second one we talked about.
The fast or the
slow, slow, slow. The second one, not the make room. Just while they're getting ready. So here's the call. When they sing this song, I've invited a number of people to come forward. You just make your way up to the front, okay? We're pretty clear, all right?